Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Tom, Derek, Steve, episode, whatever the hell this is. We're up in the, we've recorded a couple hundred together, but you know, I think we're on like episode 590 something. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. The hell's going on, boys?
How you doing?
Living the dream. I'm in New Mexico, horse showing with the Queen, Santa Fe. Derek, where are you going? You're going to Logan's wedding, right? That's what you're leaving town for.
I'm heading shortly.
Cool. Derek, what are you up to, man?
I'm just preparing to go to the lake tomorrow. So that's all I got.
Rough Thursday for you.
So it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Steve, you had a talking about depth today. What's the deal with that?
The depth of your team, you know, when you run a business. And of course, the answer is going to be it depends. But there's a lot of questions in our group is when do you know it's time to hire a secretary, a bookkeeper, a virtual assistant of this or that or the other thing? And I guess my greatest answer would be it depends on what kind of bandwidth you personally have. And I'll just explain how I did it. I had two different companies and I did it two totally different ways. The first company was a pretty big company. We had 3,000 employees. So I had 50 full-time people, 50. We had three offices, three bookkeepers, three of this, three of that, the whole ball of wax. The second go around, I had 20 years of a pond company. It was just me. I had nobody. I answered my phone. I did the QuickBooks. I did the CRM. I did 100% of everything except for the field. The first 10 years, I was in the field with the boys. The second 10 years, I never went to the field except to set them up. That was it. So it kind of just depends. But I will tell you, I actually have a third company, and it's this one right here that we're on right now. And I would not want to and could not do it without you two guys. Derek and I knocked out a podcast last night because we all got lives, man. We want to travel. Mm-hmm. We want to go do things. We have to do things. And sometimes all three of us can't be here together. So in our particular case, we need the three of us in this thing. So there's a kind of a long-winded, shitty answer with about how many people do you actually need?
Well, I think it comes down to the role. You know, personally, I don't feel you should ever stop recruiting people for the field, ever. Like you can't work in the field indefinitely. You know, I know people start a business, they like doing the thing in the field, but they like the craft. And we have a lot of people that actually do the craft. They work in the field with a helper or something like that. But you only got so many physical days in your body, you know? And then what happens when you're not working in the field, right? Like you're not producing shit. You're not producing shit. You don't cash checks. So I'm not talking like you should want to have the goal to scale your company to have 3,000 employees like Steve wants to. I'm just saying, like, I don't care if you're a three-man company, you should still always be recruiting because you never know when somebody, I mean, this is so funny. I had finally got our whole crew set. I'll never forget this one year. We got everybody in place. Everything was set. Like the whole organizational chart was perfect. And then what's his name? Had one of my guys had to go and get transferred. His wife, her job got transferred and they moved. You know, it was a key team player. Or team key piece. What do they say? It's like when you want a loan, you get the line of credit. Get the line of credit before you need it. I think you need to be hiring people before you need it.
That's exactly right.
I would agree with that. But to touch on the point of being in the field, so as you guys know, I guess it's been 8 years. I ended up with rheumatoid arthritis. So that was a rude awakening for me. I didn't even have an option. Like I could not go in the field anymore. And then, of course, remission and just there's been times I've been back in the field, but that was a real eye opener. If I didn't, I had a skeleton crew at best, but if I didn't have anybody and I just had one person, it would have been bad. So depth is key. And then fast forward 8 years to this point, where now we have an unbelievable office manager, which has helped Aaron tremendously, like offload a lot of stuff. And I did a post just the other day that my payroll was $27,000, which was more than I made most years in my career in the early years. And I look and I go, I got 22 team members now. And it's just insane, but it allows me to move about as needed. And yes, I still have a key role in the company. I support the company. I do the bulk of the sales. But if I didn't have that, and even now, I mean, I can't just like, I'm not 100% physically to just, you know, lift rocks and stuff. Some days my hands just don't work well. And some days my knees, my ankles just aren't there. So if I didn't have that depth and if I wasn't constantly doing that, so now I look even farther to go, okay, we're good. And then I panic and go, no, we're not. Because I have several key players. And if they were to move and do something else, I would be screwed. So yes, you have to keep building that roster and looking and hopefully building that culture that people want to find, that finds you and want to be there.
So I'd like us to say something on this whole employee thing, because Tom, this is one of the reasons why people, they don't have employees, because they don't know how to treat these people. But I will tell you, I've just counted in my head as you guys were talking. I've had 6 ownership spots between the two companies, and all but one exception, none of these people came from the industry to which we were working. They were just good people. And this is what everyone is missing. They think they need to hire a superstar in the industry. Well, that superstar comes with baggage, and you got to repack the baggage successfully if you're going to have that one work. That reminds me of the guy, he had a hair salon, and he had multiple hair salons, and he kept hiring the top talent when all the top talent came with their baggage, and it was a disaster. He fired them all and then hired right from cosmetology school because he just wanted a person with zero experience to come in there so he could train them the way they wanted. So if you just hire a good person, and I'm telling you, you'll find it. They'll be your waiter. They'll be the bar manager. There'll be somebody, you know, the hustle, you see it in their eyes. You just hire those people and go, hey, how'd you like to hang out with me instead of where you're hanging out? And those people have always worked out.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 series windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors, probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors, like Anderson 400 Series Windows. Request a quote today at andersonwindows.com.
Well, I want to address the people that, because we get this a lot, guys, you know, how do I know it's time to hire, or I think I need to hire, but I'm afraid to hire because I hear everybody gets screwed when they hire somebody and all this other shit, right? So if you're an established company that you have a real recruiting plan and all that shit, you know, push that aside a second. But if you're looking to go, okay, I want to build a team, I need to hire a couple guys, basically have 2 pains to choose from. And I use the word pain intentionally. The first is the pain of finding the guy with experience, right? You know, the guy with experience who knows the craft really well, but what else does he bring? You know, he brings a lot of times they bring that attitude. They bring some arrogance. And I'm not saying it's all of them, but it's like they come in and they don't want to do things your way. They can kind of fuck with your culture a little bit. I've had those guys before, not all of them, but a couple times. So there's the pain of finding talent, or there's the pain of building your own team, right? And that's, I mean, Steve, I'm thinking of Andrew, one of the owners of your old company now, right? And I'm Mike, I think, but at least Andrew came in, was an engineering student in college and just wanted to make some scratch for some beer money or whatever, right? And, you know, you end up working side by side with that guy for a number of years, and he's working with the team. Now he owns the company. And so when I say the pain of growing your own, when you're a younger company, you're going to most likely be side by side in the field with the guys. Like, it's just, there's some pain there. Okay. There's that pain, or there's that pain of trying to find that really experienced guy that's going to come to your business. So I always tell people, which pain do you want? I prefer in most cases early on to grow my own, you know, because I just preferred it for many reasons we don't have to get into right now. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? You want to grow your own or you want to find people? And it also depends on the position, but we'll just say in the field right now, just like a field guy.
This comes from experience. I've grown my own, and then I've also hired in experienced help. And conveniently enough, both of the ones that went sideways was the experienced help that came from different states, came here. And then I feel pretty confident that I was used to get them here, to get them set up, get them established, and then they started their own thing. And it's so what have I had success with 8 years with Travis? Travis came from Best Buy. I mean, he was Best Buy, and then he was doing some sort of office thing, and I can't remember what that was. He's looking out the window, saw some landscapers, and was like, I'd rather do that than do this. And then he came to me, and we literally, and it was as well, he got to me a year before you guys started the Contractor Sales Academy, and as it's turned into the fight and mm-hmm. and now Battleground. And that's so Travis got to see the chaos and literally talk about growing my own. Like, he grew with me as I was shifting into the true businessman that I'd become because being around you guys. So far my success is just, Travis has a great attitude. He's quirky. You guys know him, a little weird, mm-hmm. a little centric, but that's Travis and it works. So, but he works his ass off.
Let me inject a leadership moment in here because, you know, Tom, you brought up Andrew. He was came to me in high school, and then he went to Virginia Tech as an engineer the whole time. And he got to his senior year, and he goes, Steve, you know, I'm not coming back next year. And I'm like, I realize that. He goes, I said, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm an engineer. So I said, well, how much money do you think you're going to make? And where do you see yourself in 5 years? He says, well, I think I'll make about 45 or 50 grand, you know, getting out of college. And then in 5 years, I'm half in the office and half out of the office, making 75,000. And that was my moment. I just sat there in the truck for a second and went, huh. And I said, Andrew, I tell you what, you come work for me and I'll pay you the 50 grand. I'll give you the upper limit and I'll start you off at 50 grand. And in 5 years, if you're only making 75,000 bucks, there is something wrong and you will be fired. So I'm just opening this opportunity to come make more money and have more fun being a pond guy. But before you say yes or no, you have to go home and talk to your parents. I don't want them to be pissed at me because they just spent, you know, an engineering degree and now you're coming mm-hmm. to be a pond guy. But the point is, that almost slipped away. All these discussions we're having about Steve growing up and selling his company to his guy, that almost didn't happen. That was just a spur of the moment, the kind of out of the box kind of thinking, you know? And then the other thing I told he and Mike, just to put a fine point on this, I said, before you become my partners, here's what I recommend. You go start your own pond company, because if you can go do it successfully, you want to keep all the money. Mm-hmm. But if you think you're better off here with me, then we'll do this thing together. What do y'all want to do? And that takes guts and balls to say that, to take your two top guys who you're depending on and you set them free, like that freaking butterfly story, right? Mm-hmm. And they came flying back, said, nope, we're better off here. So those things just take a moment of courage and just say what's in your heart and what's in your mind. People respond to that. And I'm only sitting here today because of that.
Well, Steve, you had that moment, you know, when we've all had some sort of car accident where we just, you know, beat up the fender, crash the front end and whatever. Mm-hmm. And you looked at all the things that you could have done. If you would have, you know, sat at the red light a little longer, if you would have stayed at the house a little longer, if you wouldn't have, whatever it was, you had that moment, Steve, where you literally, I mean, you could have never said that. Andrew could have never said that. And you would have never been able to sell the company to him. How amazing is that? You can truly look back at that and see that moment in time that changed I don't say the trajectory of your company, but helped you reach your goal where you're trying to go.
Yeah, it 100% changed everything. And I just told them what everybody's thinking. Hey, if you think you're good enough to start your own company, go do it, man. I'll even help you. I'll back you. I'll start it. I'll fund it. I'll have a piece of a pie of another business in my same industry. I don't care.
Both of you guys, what's your number one advice for building your bench for somebody?
You want to go, Steve?
Yeah, I know that answer. It is how you treat people.
Yeah.
It is 100% how you I just went away to a mortgage banker thing where my wife's a mortgage banker and those three guys, and I was just a plus one, right? Those three owners of that company, they were like 30, 30 mortgage bankers there. They treated their people like gold. I see not only why they stay with a company, because my wife's been there 25 years, but they're the top earners. Because those guys, those three owners, treated their people like gold. They don't know me from Adam. And they were like across the beach when they see me walking. Hey, Steve-O, come on over, man. Have a cigar and a beer. I mean, they couldn't have been. So treating people like you'd want to be treated. Like, I'd like to say like family, but oftentimes family treats family like shit. So I won't use that as an example. But it's 100% how you treat them. They'll stay with you.
So, Steve, you're using the golden rule, and I shifted to the platinum rule: treat others how they want to be treated. And about 5 years ago, I took that very seriously. And the culture I created, I had to go, how do I want it? And I definitely need to build around that. But then I had to go, what do other people want? How can I build this in a way? How can I show it? And that's socially how I did it, and still do it today. I mean, how we do our videos and Facebook, Instagram, all that. I try to show a place where other people would want to be. And it's not, because candidly, if I did it exactly how I wanted it and how I wanted to be treated, it would be a little bit different. And sometimes I struggle with it on how things go, but I've created a culture that people are now coming to us and applying to us because they just want to be around the other people that are there. And yes, we have to have the vision in place and I have to steer the ship from time to time, but it's similar to what you're saying. It's, you truly have to create a culture of people, and then those people will find those people. And it's not always exactly what you want it to be, because I think I'm too hard is really what it is. And now I do have to lay down the law from time to time, but I do it in a different way. And I think Aaron and I both have found a way to attract the right people. They're finding their people is really what it is. So,
well, for me, it always comes down to building your brand. I just think, you know, when you build your brand, you stand for something, you're people talk, people know who you are. When you're visible to the world, you're visible on social, you know, and that goes for building your team and recruiting employees. That goes for finding new customers. I think it's one of those things that fixes both of them, which that comes out of my mouth 40 times a day, probably, because I can usually trace everything back to, if you want more leads, grow your brand. You want more people, grow your brand. So those listening, don't be afraid of building your team. There's a lot of good people out there. Don't buy into the bullshit that nobody wants to work and all that. There's plenty of people that want to work. You're telling me in your town of a million people, you can't find three people that want to fucking work for you? Like, you say trying, you know, and don't tell me, oh, I ran an ad once. Okay. Like, this is a way of life, just like taking care of your health. I mean, your people are the, like, face it, you could sell all the work in the world, you guys. If you can't produce it, you're fucked. So yeah. You have to give recruiting and attracting, being magnetic for employees, and have a recruiting plan in place and a hiring plan, be willing to pay the price with them and be patient, play the long game. I mean, that's one last thing I'll end on is, so many people make the mistake. They hire somebody, the guy fucks up once, and they go, this guy's a fucking idiot, and they fire his ass or they give him shit. What they fail to forget, remember, and I'll just go on this one. How many times I, as a solo operator of my painting business, when I started, fuck shit up, but nobody was there to call my ass on it. So yeah, I just had to make it right. And we forget that. So, you know, you're going to take, and this is also, see how everything's connected here in our world. You have to fucking charge enough. If you're not charging enough, then you're all puckered up about every little mistake that's made. Instead, when you're charging enough, you could chalk it up to, hey, it's a training expense. It just is what it is. Shit happens, you know? So there's so much on this. And I think, Steve, you said it years ago to me that everyone was always like, oh, you're so lucky you have Mike and Andrew. And your reply was something along the lines, yeah, I was such a shitty leader early on that I drove away probably 100 Mike and Andrews over the years. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, you know, you learn. You learn. That's all I could say. I'd like to leave people with one pro tip on this whole thing about hiring. Don't be afraid to overpay what you think is overpaying. Let's say, for example, some guy wants $5 more an hour than what you're willing to pay. And everybody goes, no goddamn way, $5 an hour. You know, they get all tizzy. But think about it. If they worked out for the entire year, it's only 10 grand extra. And you'll know within 3 months if they're actually worth the money and the extra money. So what is that really costing you? $2,500? Like Tom says, it's an expense.
Yeah.
Don't think about the $5 an hour times, you know, 5 years. Think about it, $5 an hour times 3 months. So that way you'll attract, you'll find, and you'll keep quality people.
I love how both of you have said attract. And I think everybody needs to think that. Think about that for a minute. Whatever you're attracting, good or bad, it's on you.
Well, the big rule is whatever you're putting out, literally, out of what oozes out of your body comes back to you.
If you got shitty people applying, might want to look at yourself. If you got great people applying, might want to look at yourself.
Ooh, we'll leave
that mirror is a bitch.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, good shit today. Those listening, give us a rating, give us a review, share this with another contractor. Steve, Derek, enjoy the rest of the week. Steve, enjoy Logan's wedding.
Yeah.
I'm going to go chew some dust here. So,
nice. Gentlemen, have a fantastic week.
I'm like a cowboy now, you know, anyway. Woo! I bought a horse a couple weeks ago, so I'm a cowboy now. All right, you guys rock. We got to roll. We'll see you guys.